From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Are you hungry for points as Christmas time approaches? Do you want rice? Are you after more pie? Or have you got lots already out of your deli selection? Whatever it is, we've got the tips to get you on top of the table coming up in today's show. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Are you having a good week? It's been a busy one, let's be frank, with two whole game weeks since our last show, the second of which is still going on as we record this podcast, because two fixtures coming up this Thursday night. Anyway, joining us today, fresh in from Amazon Prime's exciting new Premier League coverage, we've got Lindsay Hooper.
Yes, the streaming extravaganza.
Right, that's the coverage, not you per se.
No. Right. And please stop cursing me by getting me on, because then I seem to have a plummet in my points.
I was doing okay.
Yep. Then you book me and then I'm on 24 points.
Right, not to book Lindsay the rest of the season. Okay. Jeff Dance, Fantasy Football Scouts here. Have you been cursed, Jeff?
Hi, James. I don't think so. I've had an all right week. My game week 14 was a little rough, but I had a nice game week 15.
Okay. You've left a lot of points on the bench, I'm seeing here. 18 points in the last two game weeks on the bench.
That just means that I've got a good 15 and I'm comfortable going into the busy period going forward.
That's so true, because we're going to be talking about depth and rotation and all those things. Jack Lang, 33 points so far this week. 33 points. You used to be top of this of our Pundits League, Jack. What happened?
Tell me about it, James. It's slow, but I think insidious institutional decline now.
Right.
We can safely say I'll be bottom by January.
Okay. I mean, I had a really rough weekend, but things come pretty fast at this time of year with all the fixtures flying in. I went a bit crazy with all the Spurs madness, and I took an 8-point hit. I took an 8-point hit. Well, you say that, but Jeff was breaking down my numbers earlier. It's, what, the fourth time I've done that this season?
Quite a few hits, and it also turns out that when you take an 8-point hit, often you have not a great game week rank. So maybe that's somewhere where we can help you going forward, James.
Right, okay, just leave things well alone. Well, there were so many temptations, though, over these two game weeks, because not only was there the upheaval at Spurs, but also the injury to Tammy Abraham that I think a lot of us weren't expecting to feature in the midweek games. So did anybody else drop him or sell him out? Because Tammy, 1.3 million managers moved him on. Jack, what did you?
Yeah, I was one of them before the weekend. I got rid of him and Sterling for Son, which briefly paid off and then didn't in midweek. And Vardy, who ridiculously I had delayed getting in. That's my Achilles heel in fantasy football. When someone's doing well, they have to really basically be the top scorer in the game before I get them in.
Really?
Me too. I've still not got him.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Crikey. Jamie Vardy, who broke a new record this midweek, didn't he, Jeff?
Yeah, the most captain player in any game week so far this week was Jamie Vardy. He's got such great form. It makes sense.
Absolutely. Over 2 million people captaining him midweek. Mm. Imagine being the sad boob who took an 8-point hit to bring in Kane and gave him the captain's armband, take it off Jamie Vardy at the weekend.
I like it when you call yourself a boob.
Well, indeed. On that note, let's have a quick look then at what's going to happen this weekend in FPL. Game week 16 fixtures. And the key word here, Jeff, is not boob, but rotation.
It is. We started to see some of that in game week 15, and I think we're going to see that this coming week as well. We saw Salah not play. Tammy came back in, but Tomori, there were lots of little players who
big
didn't play.
Ones as well, like big Firmino players. As well, out of the Liverpool setup. And Lindsay, I think you were saying 5 changes at Stamford Bridge for Chelsea's.
There were 5 changes, and Lampard hinting that he's keen to freshen things up and keep that rotation coming throughout this very cluttered fixture period.
Right.
And Klopp said after the game that he wished he made more changes. He said, I made 5 changes, but I regret I didn't make 6. So I think we're going to see more and more of this as we go. And maybe it's time for another big player, Mane or someone like that, to be rested in game week 16.
One of the changes to Liverpool, of course, was enforced by Alisson's suspension. He'll be back in for the weekend as Liverpool make the trip down to the Vitality Stadium, Jack. I know you've got a fair number of Liverpool players in your squad. How are you approaching this game?
Well, I think my decline is really tied to Liverpool. Firstly, because I've stuck with Salah even with his price declining, he's now, I think, the same as Mané as we record this. Yeah, I have very stubbornly clung to him, hoping that he's going to click again. And also just the fact I've got both Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. I think one of the few in all of my mini leagues who does. And I don't want to change that because I think the potential for massive scores is really there. And yet, they can't seem to get a clean sheet for love nor money. I think the day that Liverpool get a clean sheet, I'm going to see green arrows all over the place, but it's just not happening.
But if you're going to have high-priced defenders, given that none of the usernames are getting clean sheets, is it not better to have people like Alexander-Arnold and Robertson who at least get attacking points?
Absolutely, but I think the bonus of the clean sheet points, I think, would really take it over the edge, because everyone, I think, at this point has got one of them, and they're both getting assists. So when I have, for example, if Alexander-Arnold gets an assist in midweek, I get those points. Everyone else with him gets those points, but Robertson doesn't add anything.
Right.
Every time Liverpool concede a goal, it wipes at least 8 points off my, you know, potential defensive returns.
That said, you might be all right this weekend because Bournemouth, A, are on a really shocking run of form, four straight defeats, but they also have a very poor record at home to Liverpool. Liverpool have actually won this fixture in the last two seasons 4-0 on each occasion. Last season, Mo Salah got a hat-trick. So, you know.
Yeah, well, this is my dilemma of the week, isn't it? Obviously, Mane was, again, excellent against Everton. I mean, there's no doubt that of the two, between him and Salah, he's the form player by an enormous distance. But something...
Do you think there's any danger he might get rested this weekend after Firmino and Salah did
it? It's a possibility. He's very naturally fit, which I think hedges against that, whereas Salah is still nursing this ankle problem he's had for probably a month, maybe a little bit more by now. But I don't think I can get rid of Salah
when you
after
look at
a 90-minute rest.
Looking at Salah's minutes, he hasn't had 90 minutes in the last seven game weeks, I think. And he's got two goals in the last nine. So you look at his form, it's really not there. But after the rest, it's so hard to sell him ahead of game when he's fully rested.
Jeff, last week you were saying that it was a bit early for you to get Spurs players in. You wanted to see how Mourinho is going to act in his first couple of selections as Spurs manager. Have you had enough time already? What are your thoughts on Spurs ahead of their game against Burnley?
I have had enough time. I even brought in Kane before I was really ready to bring him in. So like other people on the panel today, I brought Kane in already. He doesn't look like he's got great form, but I think he can always show up, and I have enough money right now. Well, I hope so. I think this is a big fixture for him. If he doesn't perform, then I'll get rid of him. But in midfield, that was where my struggle was. So was it Ali? Was it Son? Was it Moura? I think I've seen enough now that it's Ali as my first pick. He's playing so far forward. He looks just more aggressive than he did before. So for me, it's Ali first and then probably Son, and Lucas Moura has dropped a little bit, even though he's cheap. He's the third midfield pick for me for Spurs.
Dele Alli, who yesterday, Wednesday, was on 4% ownership, has already leapt up overnight following that amazing goal at Old Trafford to 6.4%. So,
and that was partly my fault. I brought in Alli last night. I got Martial out, who it was likely going to be out at the weekend. If he plays, it's still Manchester City, so I think that's a good move. Alli in, Martial out for me.
And no one's speaking about Eriksen now. You did your list, and Eriksen's not even featured.
Yeah. Was Aurier on your list?
Aurier, I think at the back, it's interesting. They aren't keeping clean sheets, but Aurier is so attacking. It looks to me like Vertonghen is kind of cutting in to become a third defender when Spurs have the ball, and then Aurier pushes up and is so attacking. For me, he's a really nice pick, and he's at a nice price. Gazzaniga as well, actually, is one that I'm thinking about. Maybe if the clean sheets start to come, he'll be a great pick.
Yeah, they're currently conceding two goals a game.
Which
is not great from a goalkeeper's pick. Aurier, though, I just worry with Mourinho being a manager who cares about how many goals he concedes and them shipping so many goals, would not the first change he would be thinking of making is to move Aurier out?
Possibly, but then they haven't really got any other options at right back. I guess Dier can play there. Sanchez has played there before.
Foyth as well.
I don't like that.
Mourinho's not a fan of Sanchez either.
No, he's not. Foyth, yeah, but yeah. I think he's naturally a centre-back, isn't he? I think he's there basically until they sign someone because there's no other option.
Okay, excellent. Right, what about Villa Leicester, Lindsay?
I've chosen this one as a standout fixture for any players because I think this is where you need to bank some points. And it's all because of this word that started the conversation, rotation. I think when you look at Villa and Leicester, there is less rotation with these teams. You've got more bankers in terms of choice. And also you've got players in form. So you take Villa as the home side for this one. And if you're looking attack, because I think they probably will concede, so I'd maybe avoid defence. But Grealish has been in brilliant form. Harahan and McGinn. McGinn looked very good against Chelsea when I watched last night. So I think those are good options from Villa. And when you talk about Leicester and the form that they've been in this season, of course, Vardy's a no-brainer. But Maddison, I think, has been coming back into the game. We've seen him get on the score sheet recently. And I think he's definitely one to consider bringing into the team for this weekend. And if you can rotate maybe 4 to 5 players around that match, you know they're going to get the minutes. You know they're form players. And hopefully that will translate to some points.
Grealish is really interesting, actually. So he missed 2 games in game week 11 and 12. But in the last 6 game weeks he's played in, he has 5 attacking returns. So I kind of think of him as maybe not scoring a whole lot. But when you actually look at the numbers, they're there and he's getting points.
Jamie Vardy, he would be my tip for this fixture, daringly.
Oh, that's an original one.
Yeah, 9 goals in 7 game weeks now. He scores every single week.
And penalty taker, which you always have to take that into consideration. If you know that they're going to get, if there's a possibility of getting a penalty and they're going to get on the score sheet, then it does make them more valuable.
Little Jamie Vardy penalty moan.
Yeah.
Obviously very sore from a personal point of view that I took so long to bring him in. The week before I brought him in, he missed the penalty and then was allowed to take it again. That was annoying. When I get him in, Leicester were given a penalty at the weekend and then it was overturned and he was booked for diving for what was a clear penalty in midweek.
Right.
I just think the gods are out to get me.
And another great option when you're talking penalties, Rashford. How many has he scored from penalties recently?
Wise words, Lindsay. Hey, see what you make of this question then from Dipper, who removed Aubameyang before the end of game week 13, took a 4-point hit as well. Then Tammy got injured. Emery gets the boot. So Oba has to come back in, says Dipper. What do you think?
I don't think you can go far wrong. I think the potential is at the moment that there are better options.
Right.
But if you were going to go with anyone from Arsenal,
who's better? I mean, 2 goals at the weekend. We obviously haven't seen what he's going to do Thursday night yet. And a West Ham, a very attractive looking fixture coming up in the following game week on Monday night at West Ham.
So I think, if given what Tammy Abraham did against Villa, I think he's perhaps the better option at the moment. I still think that Vardy is the out-and-out striker that you should go with.
Right.
And coming ahead of Aubameyang, probably at the moment, would be someone like Jimenez or Kane.
For me, I think Rashford as well. So Vardy and Rashford are the two that I'm looking at before anybody else. Abraham looks good. Jesus looks good as well. Ings, Jimenez, like you said. I think there are lots of options there. Do you need to bring Aubameyang in? You don't need to. He's a good option if you can afford it. But maybe need is going too far, especially with the prices of Vardy, Rashford, Ings and Moussa as well. There are some really cheap options up front.
We should talk in terms of game week 16 fixtures, though, about the Manchester derby. Saturday tea time, Man City taking on Man United, who actually have only lost one of their last 4 visits to the Etihad. And potentially, although Man City obviously doing better in the table, United have the pace with Rashford to trouble that very vulnerable City defence.
It seems to me that United are playing quite well in the bigger games against Chelsea, against Tottenham. It's the teams that they maybe should be beating or we think that they should be beating that they're having some more struggles with and they're drawing those games. So I think that if you have Rashford, he's a great pick this week. Other than that, maybe there aren't a whole lot of options.
Martial's still out this week.
Martial probably is out this week and I wouldn't pick a defender against Man City. The question marks for me is Man City players. If you have them, are you holding them? Are you going to get rid of them? For me, I got rid of mine, but I think that keeping them maybe is an option.
Okay, Farouk, for example, tweeting in saying, hold Kevin De Bruyne at 9.8 or swap him for either of the Spurs boys, Son or Ali. What do you think, Jack?
I have De Bruyne and I will keep him, I think. He's had a few weeks.
He's had 3 attacking returns in 8 game weeks.
Yeah, that's probably just below par given
Sterling,
his price.
Sterling, just to give you some context, Man City-wise, Sterling's had 1 attacking return in 5 game weeks. Mahrez has had 6 attacking returns in 6 game weeks when he's played. But that's the key thing, because he's actually, if you factor in all the other fixtures, he's only had 3 returns in 8 game weeks. Mm-hmm. Back to you, Jack.
Thank you. The thing about De Bruyne, I think he is he's a very good fantasy player. He's also, I think, probably the most frustrating fantasy player in the game, because if he played as a number 10 for any team in the league, he would probably be the top midfield scorer. He's so good at creating chances. He's a great finisher. What's difficult in the City's setup is that often he's dropping back into... You see him picking the ball up in the fullback positions. That works for City. It works for him. He's very effective in that role. It's just a slight annoyance when you've got him as a fantasy asset, because he's not near the box quite enough for my liking.
One of the worries in terms of assists is in the first 7 game weeks, he had 9 assists. In the 8 game weeks after that, he only has 1. So something's kind of changed a little bit, I think. When I watch City play, De Bruyne often is coming to the top of the 18 and taking shots now. He wants to score a little bit more than before, and I don't know if that's something in the way that City are playing. Maybe there are fewer runners and there's fewer kind of crosses across the box to where Sterling used to play. But it seems to me there's a bit of a difference in formation that maybe is affecting De Bruyne a little bit.
I'm fed up of just trying to predict the teams that Pep Guardiola is going to put out week on week. And when you get December, January, it's a particular time of year where I start to lose my patience.
There is a solution which Jeff's already adopted. Don't have any Man City players.
I'm actually nearly at that point. I've got Sterling left, and I think it's time for him to go.
Really?
Yeah, I've kept persisting, and I always get it wrong in terms of captaining him, and then he doesn't have the return, and then on another week he might get 6 or so points. But he hasn't really done anything blistering for a while, so I'm thinking of shipping him out. I'm talking Manchester United as well. Everyone is speaking about Rashford, but I wanted to highlight that I think Manchester United play better with McTominay in the side, and I think McTominay should be another consideration.
As a football team, but McTominay, does he get you any points?
He does. He has the odd goal in him, and you know, you can't rule out an assist either from where he's been playing. I mean, in the last match,
are you getting him in? No, but you're quite happy for other people to spend the chance for him.
Go spend your money, guys.
Playing the long game.
Right. Well, there you go. So get in some Man City players, or potentially Rashford, or get rid of all your Man City players. Opinion is divided. We'll take a quick look at what awaits Man City and the rest of the Premier League on the longer term after this. Long view. Let's have a look at what people are planning in terms of long-term moves, long-term strategies. And Lindsay, you were just mentioning Man City there. They don't have the best of fixtures. I mean, they are Man City, but they've got Man United, then Arsenal away, then Leicester, and then Wolves and Sheffield United.
Some tough opponents.
Yeah.
I feel like you should move away from Manchester City at the moment. I think that they are going to get points and they're going to win quite consistently, but I just can't see who's going to be providing the assists and providing the goals at the moment, apart from Jesus, who may be more of a banker at the moment.
It's an interesting point, really. If you have Sterling or Jesus or De Bruyne, you kind of want to have them as a captaincy option. You're spending 10 million, 12 million on them. You want that to be a player that you can think about captaining. But right now, with Vardy in form, maybe Rashford, Mane, do you really need a City option as a captaincy pick? Probably not. So maybe that's another reason to get rid and then maybe shift to someone you don't have who you can captain week to week.
Jack, have you got any long-term strategies on the go at the moment?
Well, I'm probably going to have to get rid of some kind of Liverpool asset.
Right, because of the blank game week.
Game week when they go to the Club World Cup. I've said that I want to keep those two defenders. I see those as season keepers, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. I will live and die by them, probably die by them if current form is anything to go with. But I think between now and then, I will need to get rid of Salah.
Crikey.
So that may prompt... I've been playing one striker for much of the season. So that may prompt...
What, like 4-5-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that may prompt a move back towards two strikers, maybe Vardy teaming up with Abraham or... perhaps Aubameyang, if he can convince me.
Right. That blank is coming up for Liverpool in a couple of weeks' time. Game week 18, when they would have been facing West Ham. Jeff?
I think that as we've said before, one of the most important things going into December is look at the fixtures and look how many there are and think about rotation, think about your whole squad. So don't just think about the 11, think about your bench as well. You want players throughout your team who are playing so that if someone gets benched, you have someone to come in. My planning, there's not a whole lot of it right now because most of the players I have, I think, will play most game weeks. But certainly if you have an injured player or a player who's been transferred out or a player who's a long-term injury worry, then look to kind of boost your bench a little bit and look at game week 18. If you have 3 Liverpool players, are you comfortable playing the rest of your team that game week? If not, maybe you need to either boost your bench or move a Liverpool player out.
The teams that are currently looking best on the FDR calendar, the fixture difficulty rating graphic, are Palace, Spurs, Villa, Newcastle, Southampton. They've all got very good fixtures, particularly Southampton, Newcastle and Palace in the next 3 weeks. Everton, who are right down the bottom of it with some really tough games, I'm just wondering whether they might represent actually a good opportunity. If there is any unfortunate news for Marco Silva in the next day or two, would a lot of their assets suddenly become more attractive?
They've got a lot of quality, and you would expect there would be a manager bounce effect if someone came in. So it is something to bear in mind. The only thing when you're saying that is that, of course, there's this unusual period of a manager taking over where there's a game every few days.
Right.
And so is the bounce as good as it would be at a different point in the year?
I'm looking at game week 19 when they've got three fixtures now, Chelsea, United, and then Arsenal. After that, the fixtures turn really nice. And Richarlison's returning already.
Yeah.
Is there someone else, maybe Keane or maybe a defender? Luke Dean obviously has FPL pedigree. So if one of those players can kind of step up, game week 19, maybe that's when we start to target Everton. But keep an eye on them for now.
Okay. Well, after this, we're going to be looking at some of your responses and those of the panel to this week's Wednesday tweet, which is, what's your advice about dealing with game weeks in quick succession? The question we put out on Wednesday with the hashtag FPLpod was, what's your advice about dealing with game weeks in quick succession? Very topical question with the Christmas fixture list upon us. Lots of interesting responses. Bad FPL says, don't tell co-workers or friends about deadlines. Which is, have you ever done that?
That sounds like a tactic you'd employ.
Have I ever done that? I always do that, yeah.
So you just would keep stum?
Yeah, until 1 minute after it, and then I'll text them saying, have you done any transfers? Hoping that they haven't, just for the extra needle.
Wow.
Aminu, 90% in the mind, James, this game.
Aminu says, don't overthink it, which is, I guess that's one approach, isn't it?
You could do with heeding that one, James.
Thanks for that. MK Oconto, rotate defenders according to match difficulty, which I think we can all go along with, and maintain mids and strikers. So Oconto's saying basically just leave your midfielders and strikers to plough through Christmas.
I think so. Maybe he might also be saying that maintain them. So if there's someone who's out, make sure you replace them. Maintain the balance in your strike force.
Fair. Ed suggests have a bench that plays. Right. You played your bench boost this week, Lindsay.
We didn't want to bring that up.
Why did you do that?
Oh, I think you were getting a bit further away from me, and I just wanted for my own sanity to see that gap close a bit. So I thought if I could just get that boost of about 12 points, that would be lovely.
How many points did you get?
Four.
4 points?
Yeah, from my bench boost.
Okay. LDW, pick players certain of playing. Harry Kane, Harry Maguire, they don't all have to be called Harry, says LDW.
I think that's a good point. One of the things that if you're like me, not wanting to take on too many things to try and juggle, maybe just focus on a player that you think is going to have a lot of game time, that's going to perform well, and try and get them in your team without it costing you points.
Right.
So I'm fixed at the moment of trying to get Pulisic into my team because I think he's been brilliant. And yesterday he was so unfortunate not to get an assist or a goal. And he looks like that form player that I would want to have for this Christmas period. And he's got so much energy and fitness.
He looks very threatening.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year for Christians.
That's so true, Jack. Nice. And for Jesus as well. So he could be another player you might want to get in. Nice. Brendan says, don't make emotional decisions if the first game week doesn't go well. That's such great advice, Brendan.
That's good advice all the time.
I might get that as a tattoo, actually. No, but particularly when you have double ones. I guess it's easier when it's a couple of days later just to let it ride.
I find actually, during this period where there's games on the weekend and then midweek as well, I find it easier not to make rash transfers because there's games every day. The game week doesn't finish until maybe 2 days before the next deadline, so you just have to hold for 2 days and then you can roll your transfer.
Excellent. If you have a question for us, then do send it in with the hashtag FPLpod. After this, we're going to be having a look at some essential differentials. Keen to find out about niche players that not many other managers have. Criteria here, Jack, as you know, is less than 10% ownership worldwide, but still hopefully churning out a point or two. Have you got a suggestion for us?
Yes, I'm going to go for Matt Doherty of Wolves.
Are you actually, though?
I think I might. Yeah. I'm going to try and find a way to get him in. He's 3.6% owned.
Yes.
And the thing I love about FPL among all the things that I hate about it when I get those red arrows, is you get a real relationship with a certain player. Matt Doherty, I put him in at the very start of last season. I had him the whole way through the season, and he felt like my best friend every time I logged in.
Right.
Because, firstly, he's a great player.
But then you fell apart. What happened?
He was a bit expensive at the start of the season. He was in and out of the team. Adama Traore was getting his place. Anyway, he's back in the team now. He's so good. He always pops up in the box, and he has such a nice relationship with Raul Jimenez. Jimenez has laid on a couple of assists for him already. And actually, Traore's presence on the right of the attack has, I think, even added to his threat because they rotate a bit. Doherty's always in the box. And I think, you know, he's expensive. He's 6 million.
6 million.
Wolves don't have great fixtures, but I think he's fixture-proof because there aren't any teams keeping a lot of clean sheets in the Premier League. So why not go for someone who will score 6 or 7 goals?
He has been brilliant.
Last couple of game weeks, 10 points and then 6 points.
Yeah, and he was injured at the start of the season, which is why he had a bit of an ankle knock and he wasn't featuring in the team. He wasn't as predictable for being in the starting 11, but I think you've really turned a corner now. And the other thing to say about Nuno is the rotation, bearing in mind that they've had Europa League as well,
right.
He's not rotating. So that starting 11, he's starting to be very, very...
burnt out?
No, I was going to say loyal
to them.
Thing. Right. The opposite. He's been starting to be very loyal to them, and there are only tweaks that Nuno's making, and he's getting good returns.
Nice. Lindsay, who's your differential pick?
I'm going to pick Luka Milivojevic for Crystal Palace. And this is because of the fixture list that Palace have got coming up, which you touched on, James. So in a little bit more detail, they have got Watford, Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham and Southampton.
And then Norwich.
Oh, and then Norwich on the back of that.
Yeah.
So there is a really good run of fixtures here. He is the designated penalty taker. And he also has quite a few assists in him. I don't think when you're looking at number one choices in midfield, where a lot of points are gained, he might not be there. But when you're talking about making sure that you've got quality on the bench, he's the sort of player that if he ends up being subbed on, could, by complete chance, also have got you quite a few points.
6.7 million is the price. 2.5% ownership, so very low. In other Palace, I mean, those fixtures sound great. Are there any other Palace assets?
I guess Ayu as well. You could throw into the mix, yeah.
Right. Okay, excellent. What about you, Jeff?
So last week I did a goalkeeper transfer. I got Pope out for Dean Henderson at Sheffield. Henderson's only owned by 7.4% of managers, and the fixtures look really nice. Other than four games kind of over December, January, they look really nice until about the game week 30. So Henderson, for me, is one to look at if you were looking at a new goalkeeper to get. And then around game week 20, when the fixtures start to get difficult, maybe you can look at a second goalkeeper to rotate with. And the goalkeeper there I'm looking at is Gazzaniga from Spurs.
Okay.
If Spurs can keep clean sheets, he's also only at 3.9%. So two differential goalkeepers there that you can play together who cover each other nicely for the difficult fixtures.
Okay. Sheffield United's game is coming up. Norwich away, Villa at home, Brighton away, Watford at home. The next four game weeks look absolutely terrific. One other player we should mention, we have brought his name up before, Gabriel Jesus, who's only 3.2% ownership.
That's incredible.
Scored a couple of goals midweek. 9.6 million is the price, but, you know, with the midfield that he's playing in front of, I think he's, and the fact that he's pretty much guaranteed to start, he does look like a great option. After this, let's have a little check on what people are thinking of doing ahead of this game week and who, Jamie Vardy, are they going to give the captain's armband to? Game week 15 still rumbling along out there. Best of luck with those fixtures, fancy manager. But as soon as that's done, we'll have a brief respite before whammo. Saturday lunchtime, game week 16 gets underway. Jeff, let's start with you. What have you, are you doing transfers this week?
So I already did my Martial to Ali transfer. I wanted to catch the price rise, and I can't see Ali not playing at the weekend or going forward even. So that's my move this week. I'll probably hold there, although I have some money left in the bank.
How worried are you that this is just going to be a little flash in the pan from Ali? How consistently do you think he's going to return?
I'm not too worried. I think Mourinho needs to do well. Spurs need to do well. And I think that the talent is there in the whole squad. And Ali looks like a player who Mourinho wants to do well and is going to give every opportunity to. So I'm not that worried about Ali. I do think Son is an option. And I think Kane eventually will come good. But for me, Ali right now, his ownership is growing. He's still a differential. He's the pick for me I think everyone should kind of think about him at least, if not bring him in.
All right. Lindsay, you thinking about Ali?
No, because I've got Son, and so I'm going to stick with him for now.
All right.
I'm going to be true to my word. I'm going to get Sterling out, and I'm going to get Pulisic in.
Brilliant. Nice. Okay. Jack, what about you?
Well, I'm just tinkering away here.
Nice.
I don't think I'll make a transfer this week, but what I am considering is getting Abraham in, getting Salah out probably next week or the week after. And the other player that's slightly concerning me is Tielemans. I had him before getting Vardy as kind of to cover Leicester. It's not really working, so I think I'm going to have to rethink that.
What am I going to do this week? Well, you know what? I actually rolled my transfer over midweek.
So you've got two.
Yeah, I've got a little halo up on my head right now.
That'll allow you to make four with an 8-point hit.
It's pretty much a wild card, actually. Of course, one other thing, and this might sound ironic from me, about this period is it's actually quite good to bank your transfers, isn't it? Because you're going to need to make a lot of switches because of rotation.
If you look at your team and you think you're all right, maybe it is a good idea just to wait and see what happens, because there's rotation, injuries happen, and having two transfers is a big help.
Brilliant. All right, well, that's me. And then I can wrestle with the dilemma or not of who to give the captain's armband to. Lindsay, is this the most no-brainer thing in FPL right now?
It's the thing that I get wrong most weeks.
Are you not giving it to Jamie Vardy every week?
I've told you I've not had Jamie Vardy on my
team. Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, get him in and give him the captain's armband.
No. I don't like to go with the crowds. So I think, even though that's probably the purpose of this, but I will go with Son, because out of all of the weeks when I have had a good return on captain, it was him last weekend.
There you go. And they're at home to Burnley, which, yeah.
Hopeful.
Jeff?
I think it's got to be Vardy. I look at my team and maybe Ali, maybe Kane, but I'm a little bit worried actually about Pulisic that he might get rested. I don't think it'll happen, but there is some risk there. Mount as well.
Maybe I shouldn't get him this week then.
I think he's so good and he looks so threatening. I wouldn't worry people too much. I think that there's a chance. I don't think it'll likely happen, but Vardy has to start. I think that for me, no rotation risk, such great form, it's a pretty easy pick.
Right. Jack?
Vardy.
Vardy, yeah, all the way. And I think me too. Brilliant. Now, that pretty much wraps it up for the show. But if you'd like more FPL content, like the FPL show and the FPL FYI, then head over to PremierLeague.com. We'll be back, of course, next week to round up all the big lessons of Game Week 16 and look forward to Game Week 17. But many, many thanks in the meanwhile to Jack Lang for being with us today.
Thank you, James.
And to Lindsay Hooper.
I know you like having me on because I'm just below you.
You are below me. It's extraordinary. I don't know how that happened. Jeff Dance as well.
Thanks, James.
Best of luck, everybody, this weekend. And you, Fantasy Manager. We'll be back with you next week. Have a great time till then.